It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we'll look at some of the main issues raised in the annual Wisconsin State of the Tribes address delivered earlier this afternoon. First, consumer prices jumped 7.5% last month compared with a year earlier. That's the biggest increase in nearly 40 years. You might have noticed your grocery bill getting bigger, your paycheck not going as far as you used to. That's likely a consequence of inflation. The U.S. Federal Reserve is the main government agency tasked with controlling inflation. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell says supply chain issues are a big cause of the problem.
There's sort of a perfect storm of very strong demand and weak supply due to the reopening of the economy and various factors.
Our guest today says that's just part of the story. He says high inflation rates, there's a good chance they'll stick around for a while. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you noticed higher prices at the grocery store or at the gas pump? Maybe you haven't noticed a change. Tell us about that. What questions do you have about the inflation we're seeing, when it might go down? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Kevin Spellman is an investment coach and senior lecturer at the UW-Milwaukee's Lubar School of Business. Kevin, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Rob, I'm very glad to be here.
Before we get into causes and solutions, that part gets pretty complicated. A little more straightforward, I think, is the consequences of inflation. Can you talk about how it affects people in their daily lives?
Well, I mean, just if your costs are rising quicker than your wages, you know, obviously you can't spend as much. And over the last couple of years, prices on the consumer price index has risen about 3-4% more than wages. And it's even worse if you're not on the low end. If you're kind of a middle income worker, costs are rising much quicker than wages, and that basically lowers your standard of living.
That's the easy part. The harder part is the cost. Now, we heard there from the Federal Reserve Chair saying, hey, supply chain issues, a major culprit, maybe the main culprit. How big a factor do you see that that particular cause playing?
I believe the Fed is missing very much some long-term trends. So let me just back up just a little
sure.
bit. You pointed out that inflation was 7.5% in January. The core, excluding food and energy, which is pretty volatile, was 6. The Fed originally said this inflation was transitory or temporary. They backed off that statement. This inflation surprise has been probably the biggest surprise for the Fed and economists in at least 30 years. If you're like me, you know, you think long ahead and you start thinking about some other long-term trends that are reversing. I sent you a list of 13 unlucky reasons that this is beyond supply chain. But should we start with the Fed's side of the story, and then we'll get to the other side?
Sure. Well, I mean, the Fed side saying that the supply chain issue, we've talked about that here on Central Time before. I am interested in hearing what are some of the core reasons that you think inflation was going to go up, maybe even without the whole supply chain kerfluffle?
Okay. So one of the big long-term trends that are reversing is the employer-worker relationship. Now, for decades, the workers have been losing out to the employer as their wages have not risen as much as productivity. And that's resulted in higher profits for corporations. Right now, it's exactly the opposite. A few years ago, it started with kind of more of a socialistic movement to higher wages. But right now, the workers are in the driver's seat. Last year, 47 million of about 150 million workers quit. Now, how could they quit? It's because there's other jobs. At the moment, there's 11 million openings, which is 5 million more than there are people unemployed. And the workers are demanding higher wages. And actually, they're probably on average unhappy that the wages are not going up as much as prices. Just one more thing to add to this about the lack of workers. We had about 1 million more people retire during COVID. We have several million lost workers from immigrants that work the farms, and we also have people out of work because they have COVID or, taking care of someone that has it. That's all resulted in, a lack of workers. If wages go up, corporate costs go up, which means they raise prices, which then workers demand higher wages, which means higher prices. So we got a wage price spiral like the 1970s.
Now, pretending for a moment that was the only part of the story, when does that settle down? What does it take to settle down that potential wage price spiral you were just talking about?
Well, in the 1970s, what didn't basically bring it back until basically the 1980s is an aggressive Fed that's raising interest rates. In order to, quell that trend, the Fed would have to raise interest rates quite a bit to slow the economy, which unfortunately means loss of jobs. But there are a few other things that could help out. One is the percent of the population that's actually participating in the labor force has gone down during COVID, and that could go back up. And obviously, people who are out of work from COVID, I said that's about a million, and they could, basically get back to work. So there's some other offsetting trends that could help out the worker situation. But we have unemployment at 4%. So we're really at a very strong employment base or unemployment rate right now.
I know some point toward government spending. We had big COVID relief packages, for example, the infrastructure bill money is getting into the economy now. How big a part of the story is that when it comes to inflation?
It's actually huge. So I basically say the Federal Reserve and the federal government, they have a job to do during recessions, and they did it well. Basically, they stimulated the economy. And I'll give you some more numbers to this in a second. But the problem is kind of like the good car that jumpstarts the bad car, the bad engine in the economy during recessions. But right now they're adding nitro to that engine and they're running it into a brick wall. Money supply is up over 40% the last 2 years. This money supply, this is, cash, coins, checks, money in the bank, up 40%, that needs to go someplace. And the Fed didn't think their quantitative easing that resulted in this money supply and the federal government with their stimulus plans would result in inflation, because after the great financial crisis, they had about the same amount of growth in money supply and it didn't result in inflation. It's different this time. What's different this time is after the great financial crisis, consumers weren't spending because they had too much debt they had to save. Banks couldn't lend because they had to fix their balance sheet. At the moment, if you look at Federal Reserve surveys of bank lending, they're eager to lend. Consumers' financial conditions are basically fixed, and they're eager to borrow. If they borrow, then obviously they spend on units, and if there's not enough units on the shelves, prices go up. So I would argue that the government added nitro to that engine, and that's what's resulting in a lot of this inflation.
We're talking to Kevin Spellman, investment coach and senior lecturer for UW-Milwaukee School of Business. We're looking at the causes and the impacts of inflation and maybe some possible solutions. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question, a solution proposed, and what does inflation mean to you? Have you had a shockingly high blank bill? Fill in the blank there. Are you changing what you buy when you buy it because of high prices? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Right now, we're picking up our conversation with Kevin Spellman. Kevin has 30 years of experience analyzing, managing, and researching investments. He's a senior lecturer at the Lubar School of Business at UW-Milwaukee. We are talking about inflation rates, why they're high, where they're headed in the future, and what that means for you. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Jeremy is with us in Appleton. Jeremy, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Jeremy?
Well, I wanted to bring up the fact that I think it's not just inflation that is, picking the consumer's wallet. I think that there is an aspect of corporate greed at this, where they're using the moment to increase their prices, because we're seeing massive increases in profits being reported by businesses, especially during Q4 of 2021. And now that we're seeing some of the financial reports for Q1 2022, you know, their profits are still high. So I think there's a lot of businesses that are taking advantage of this opportunity to raise prices and disguise it as inflation.
Jeremy, thanks for the call. Kevin, I've seen people make that argument. What do you think?
I don't think it's really wrong. So it's part of the story. If there is not goods on the shelf, they can, you know, raise prices of it. Let me just throw in this. It used to be, the corporations have more profits now with fewer workers. So typically when you come out of recession, your productivity goes up because you delay hiring workers until you know you have the demand. But right now, their sales are back to basically trend, and they're able to produce, and that's what's driving up profits. One of the long-term trends that I thought was reversing is possibly the benefit of the internet. And there's an index out there, it's called the Digital Economy Index of Digital Purchasing Power. So long-term trend was, you know, we allow people to buy things on the internet and that's reduced prices. What if corporations that are selling on the internet have now become so dominant, and I won't name the companies, that they become a little bit monopolistic and they no longer have to lower prices and they can even raise them?
Jeremy, thanks for that call at 800-642-1234. I want to key in on one particular cost, the cost of housing, something that we've talked about a fair amount, high rents, high prices for buying houses in many communities. How does that factor into this whole inflation story?
Well, in the CPI, the Consumer Price Index, more than a third of it on the core, this is excluding food and energy, is the cost of rent and housing. And that's another long-term trend that kept inflation down that's reversing. Over the last year, rents, at least according to some real estate investment trusts that I looked up, are up over 20%. Since 2019, they're up 10%. Now, how in the world could they be raising prices like this of rent? Well, first of all, occupancy is really high in apartments. So if occupancy is high, they can pass it along to the consumer. And second is, obviously everybody knows, housing prices are going way up. If housing prices are higher, then you can charge more for rents. And then the long-term trend that's reversing, post the great financial crisis, everybody wanted to save, so more people cohabitated. They didn't leave their parents' home, which means there was a lot fewer households as a percent of population after the great financial crisis. Now that everybody is, making a whole bunch of money and back to work, everybody's leaving those homes and driving up demand for not just houses, but apartments, and driving up CPI. So this is a huge component of CPI, over a third, which is rising really quickly.
Earlier, you mentioned that list of issues you said along to us. I'm looking at number 13 here. What if Russia invades Ukraine and supply of oil and natural gas is curtailed? Well, Russia has invaded a chunk of Ukraine. Talk of embargoes, canceling or shutting down for now the idea of this new natural gas pipeline. What are you watching for that what if?
Well, it was my number 13 on my unlucky list why inflation could be higher. Oil prices are not a large part of inflation, but they're an extremely volatile component. And obviously, the price of oil influences all kinds of other things in the economy. Russia is a major producer of oil and natural gas around the world. So if the inventories are already tight of oil, oil went from negative during COVID to $91 a barrel. If it continues to go higher, that probably means inflation jumps further from here. Economists are probably expecting oil to come down and be, forced to bring inflation down. But if it's exactly opposite, it would drive inflation up further, which means the Fed also has to be more aggressive in raising interest rates.
Is that something that balances out because of increased production elsewhere?
Possibly OPEC could increase production. I think that's what we're referring to. And also the U.S. Oil companies, if you look at their capital spending plans for this year, I think they're up over 20%. which means they're going to, you know, drill and open up the spigot and add more supply of oil, which could help curtail some of the loss from Russia.
I'm hoping you could take a minute to put on your investment coach hat. What kind of things would people think about those with money to invest? What kind of things does inflation do to change the equation for them?
Okay, so my expertise is as an investment manager, and this is the hottest topic that people are talking about. So if you think about higher inflation, you're going to have higher interest rates. If you have higher interest rates, then it makes maybe less sense to invest in the stock market because, you know, your bonds are going to pay you more. So this is a very negative for the stock market. Also, higher interest rates slows the economy, which is also very negative for the stock market. The market is not prepared for this. There is various ratios of valuation that shows the stock market's at, you know, nearly an all, well, at least a 20-year high in its valuation, which means it's pricing in for the Fed to be successful and bring down inflation. If it's not, that's you know, very negative for the stock market. And you've already seen some of the weaker parts of the stock market, the money losing company, IPOs, and all these other things are down 50% this year or from their highs.
In our last half a minute or so, what time horizon are you watching for, Kevin, to see inflation go down significantly?
Well, I do believe the supply chain issues will be somewhat fixed over the next year, so inflation could tame over the next 6-9 months. But long term, I believe the market's really not pricing in the fact that you could have higher than that 2% inflation for, you know, some time or years to come.
Kevin, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
Kevin Spellman is the Nicholas Director of Investment Management and a senior lecturer at the Lubar School of Business at UW-Milwaukee. He's also an investment coach. Kevin joined us for a look at inflation in the U.S. economy. The economic and social heart of Milwaukee's Black community was demolished by freeway construction in the 1960s. But years of redevelopment efforts are making some community members hopeful that the Bronzeville neighborhood could become a hub for Black culture again. Corrine Hess has more.
Located just 2 miles north of downtown Milwaukee, Bronzeville thrived for decades with vibrant small businesses and a nightlife that drew people across racial lines. Freeway construction in the 1960s meant the loss of more than 8,000 homes and churches, and the once tight-knit community scattered across Milwaukee. Artist Matope Johnson lived in Bronzeville until he was about 8 years old. Johnson is now in his late 60s, but he still remembers how vibrant of a community it once was.
So we could go to, you know, the grocery store, or we can go to the doctor. If the doctor didn't come to us, because the doctor actually came to visit you at your home.
Last spring, Johnson opened an art exhibit in Milwaukee detailing what old Bronzeville was like. And with new ethnic restaurants in the neighborhood and stores like the Bronzeville Collective, where 25 local vendors have opened shop, Johnson thinks some of the old vibrancy might be coming back.
What I've seen in the most recent years have really begun to pave the way for a huge improvement.
At the heart of the neighborhood is G's Clippers. Owner Gollin Smith was one of the first pioneers of the new Bronzeville when he moved a shop there in 2006. Walking into G's feels like stepping into another time period. Signs on the door caution guests to protect themselves against COVID-19, but inside, maskless people rap songs from another era. James Flippin has been a barber here for 5 years. He calls G's the neighborhood hangout.
This right here gives you a chance to come back into the inner city a little bit more, see a little bit more of what we have to offer.
In addition to the small Black-owned businesses like G's, there are larger projects in the works. The Greater Milwaukee Foundation and the Medical College of Wisconsin are turning a former Gimbel's department store into offices and programming space. This week, America's Black Holocaust Museum will open after being closed for more than a decade. It was one of the only museums dedicated to telling the history of lynching in the United States when it closed in 2008. The museum was founded by lynching survivor James Cameron, who died at age 92 in 2006. One block over, a closed state office building is slated to be the new Bronzeville Center for the Arts, another anchor for the neighborhood. Artist Della Wells serves on the Arts Center board. She lived in Bronzeville as a child. She says over the years, some independent Black artists and writers remained in Bronzeville, but this project will showcase Black culture and give the artistic community another place to gather.
No one in Wisconsin is really, talking about African-American art and art of the Afro diaspora. By that, I mean the history of it. So we're going to take that mission on.
The momentum is drawing national attention to Bronzeville. Last month, the New York Times featured Bronzeville on its list of 52 places for a changed world. One of the people working behind the scenes is Deshea Gee, who recently led the neighborhood's business improvement district. Gee says people's mindset about the neighborhood's place in the city is changing.
It's just a place that has so much meaning, has so much history. It really inspires me to just keep going and know that there's more to do.
There are still empty lots and storefronts in Bronzeville, but people like Gee see it attracting diverse businesses and residents in one of the most segregated cities in the country, and again ready to make history. Corrine Hess, Wisconsin Public Radio.